Joshua had got his elders together and his leaders together, and he was presenting them with this farewell speech, as he knew that he would not always be with them. So he wanted to share with them what was really important before he went home to glory. And he presented them with several be carefuls. And we took those instructions for our own lives, as God's word is not just for the people in Joshua's day, but for us also today. Now, I'm not going to go into it all again. I don't have time. But I want to quickly remind ourselves of the be careful statements that I shared with you back in January. It's good to reflect sometimes. So I shared from passage chapter 23 of Joshua, and we read in this speech the be carefuls. Number one, to acknowledge that God is in charge. Is he in charge of your life today? Number two, that we are to obey him. Number three, we are to obey his word. Is it coming back to you now? Do you remember the sermon? Number four, we are to worship him and him alone. And number five, we are to love him with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. Now, since then, if you've been taking notes and paying attention, then you will have heard through the pastors and the elders and leaders here at Moss Vale sermons, teachings on obedience. You will have heard it in your ministry groups, the men's ministry, women to women, at the youth ministry, young adults, and in Sunday school, that we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this morning, I want to touch upon point number four, which is to worship him and him alone. Charles Spurgeon said that he was at his happiest when he was worshiping God. I hope that's not mine. The happiest moments are when I am worshiping God, really adoring the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. Do you feel that way? Are you at your happiest? Does it bring you joy to worship God? And there is so much that we can learn about developing and nurturing a lifestyle of worship. Too much for me to go into in one message anyway. But why are we looking at this today? Well, as I said, God revealed in that passage of Joshua that we are to be obedient. And we're going to be obedient today, and we're going to learn about the importance of worship. So let's look one more time at what Joshua commanded the people. Verses 6 and 8, I'm going to read to you from chapter 23. Be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them, or serve them, or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. May God bless the reading. So we've already looked this year at the importance of God's words as Joshua was commanding. I preached a sermon earlier in the year about the importance of living by the word of God. You will remember that. And in this passage, Joshua was encouraging us to live by the word of God, to obey his instructions. He was also warning against idolatry, and he was encouraging the people to worship God and God alone. The NIV version of that verse says, do not bow down to any other gods. Why? Because there is only one God. And he is the one. He is the one that we are to worship. We are not to allow anything or anyone to compromise our worship in church. That includes our jobs, our hobbies, our lifestyles, our friends, and our families. We are to worship him with all of our hearts. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you're new to church and you're not quite sure what worship is, why we engage in it. Well, hopefully this message this morning will help you in that. Or maybe you're here this morning and lately your worship has been compromised. You're finding it difficult to worship right now. That something or someone else has gotten in the way of worshiping God with all of your heart. That something or someone else is sitting on the throne of your heart where only God should reside. Perhaps your life has been overwhelmed recently. You found it difficult to worship God. There's been a disconnection. And you have struggled. You've struggled to read your Bible. You've struggled to lift up your voice and sing those songs of joy. Now, there could be several reasons for that. Perhaps you're going through a period of illness, or you're dealing with a difficult relationship. I spoke about relationships last time. Maybe there is job uncertainty, the pandemic, excuse me. Or perhaps you're battling with disobedience, and that has caused a disconnection in your worship. If you feel that way, that you feel disconnected, perhaps you've struggled to get out to church on a Sunday. Perhaps you've found it difficult lately to open up His Word and hear from the Father. And it's something has gotten in the way of worshiping God with all your heart. I wonder, what has stolen His attention? Today I want to remind you, and I want to encourage you, of the benefits of being a worshiper. Are you a worshiper? So before we look at the benefits to worship, let's first of all look at what worship is. I read once that worship is both love and its lordship expressed. And it's true, isn't it? For the whole gospel message is a message of love. That God so loved the world that he gave out of love. Danny recited this last week. And anyone who believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's a message of love. And when you truly grasp the Father's love for you, you cannot help but want to worship Him. You cannot help but want to praise Him and declare, He's my Lord. He is my Lord. So I wonder, can you say that today? He's my Lord. He is my Lord. And if He is your Lord, do you worship Him as Lord? It's hard to read the Bible without coming across an invitation to come and to worship God. Have you come to worship God today? Psalm 95, come let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 96, sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. I said at the beginning, it's a lifestyle of worship. Psalm 100, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And that's just a few of the Psalms. Worship is all throughout the Bible. Next time you're reading the Bible, look for it. And not only are we commanded to worship, but God invites you to come. To come and to worship Him. But why? Why should we worship? Well, let's first of all look at what it means. I want to look at three words today. Just touch upon them. Three words in three different languages. And the first one is in the Old English, and you know this. The Old English word for worship is worship. Sounds very similar, doesn't it? And what it means is to give value to something or to someone. So when we are worshipping God, what we are doing is we are giving Him value. We are worshipping Him and we are saying, you are worthy. You are worthy. Opposed to the shampoo adverts that tell us that we are worth it. No, in that moment what we're saying is, God, you are worth it. You are worth it. We're expressing how we feel about God in that moment. You see, worship always communicates a message. So what message are you communicating right now through your personal worship? Are you expressing to God how much he means to you? Do you value him? Are you telling him that he is worthy of it all? Are you expressing to God how much you love him? Or have you been disconnected lately? Is that you? What has robbed your heart of worship? The second word is shakah, and it comes from the Hebrew language, and it simply means to bow down low. What we are doing when we're bowing down to God is we're surrendering to him. We're submitting to him. We are giving of our whole self. It's a sacrifice of praise. Now, I said earlier that you might be finding life difficult right now. Perhaps you're hurting right now. There's a lot going on in your life right now, and you don't feel filled with joy. You don't feel like lifting up your songs of joy. Can I encourage you? Don't give up. Press in. Worship God. Get down on your knees. Bow before the King this morning. That is why it's a sacrifice of praise. Said it before from here, because it's not about how we feel. It's not even about us. It's about him. In that moment, we're saying, yes, I'm going through stuff right now, but God, you are still on the throne. God, you are worthy of praise. And in that moment when we bow down and we worship him, even though it hurts, what you're saying is, Lord, take control of that thing that is hurting me right now. So I wonder, are you hurting right now? The invitation this morning is to come. Come to Jesus. We sing it during our response time. Come to the Lord. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are opened wide. Worship. Shakah. The third word is a lovely word. It comes from the Greek and it's proskino. This word means to also adore and to bow down. But there's a third component to this word, and it's lovely. And it is to kiss forward. To kiss the hand of the master as a token of reverence. Remember I said it's about love, but it's also lordship. We are bowing down at the master's feet. We are kissing his hand. Isn't that beautiful? It's just gorgeous. So maybe you're new to Mossvale and you're wondering, why are all these folk got their hands in the air? Why are they shouting? Why are they shouting out praise? Why are they dancing and clapping? Well, we're literally blowing God a kiss. We're saying, God, you are worthy. We're giving him all of our devotion from our heart. So when we take these three elements of these three words, worship, shakah, proskuneo, together, what we're ultimately looking at is love. Worship is love. True worship, well, it's true love, isn't it? And as I said, it's also lordship. In that moment, we're expressing, regardless of what's going on in my life, that he is the Lord. Mark 12 highlights this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And our pastor led us in a devotion this morning as a leadership in that verse, actually. So let me ask you again. Are you expressing your love for God through worship? Are you communicating a message of love, of lordship, of gratitude towards God? We don't want anything to hold us back from telling God how worthy he is. Worship reflects what's in our hearts. You're telling God how you feel about him. And we can express worship in many different ways. So often when we think of worship, we immediately think of praise, and that's fine because it's an expression of worship, and we'll look at that more. However, we can worship God in many different ways and not just on a Sunday. As I said, it's a lifestyle of worship. That's every day. So what ways can we tell God that he's worthy? What ways can we express to God our love for him? Well, worship, it's reading your Bible. It's prayer. It's fasting. It's communion. It's tithing when we put our money in the boxes. That's worship. It's loving each other. That is worship. It's sitting in the silence with God, waiting for his voice. That is worship. We are moved by the power of his love, and it flows from our hearts, and we cannot help but want to sing and dance and clap. Well, I don't want to stop doing that. I don't know about you. So for the remainder of the time that we've got left this morning, I want to concentrate on one aspect of worship, and that is praise, the one that we think of most when we think of worship. You know, when we praise God, we're worshiping him. And as we praise God, it allows us to fully express to him just how much we love him and just how worthy he is. I've recently been spending some time with the Mossy Crew band. They've been letting me hang out at their rehearsals, but they've told me that I've not to join the band, sadly. Something about my age, or maybe it's my voice. Anyway, I've been spending some time with them. We've been talking a bit about the importance of worship. And they know. They know that what they do up here is not about them. They know that it's not a performance. They know that what we do up here is all about attributing value and worth to God. It's about giving glory to the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what Peter and the band have done for us today. They've led us in that wonderful time of worship. And we're saying it's all for you, Jesus. It's all for your glory and your fame. Jesus, in Revelation 5, verse 5, and we sang it earlier, I never chose that song, but he's described in Revelations as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. And Judah comes from another Hebrew word. That word is yada. And it literally means to praise God with extending our hands. We're basically throwing heapfuls, handfuls of praise at Jesus. Why? Because he's worth it. So praise is a vital part of communicating that message that we talked of earlier, that we love God. But as I said earlier, perhaps you've found that difficult recently. Maybe it's down to these masks. They're not helping us, really, is it? They're causing a barrier, aren't they, to praising and worshiping God. We can't wait to the day where we can take them off. Or maybe it's the restrictions. Or perhaps it's because you're watching from home and that has made it difficult for you to get into worship right now. Or maybe you're going through some stuff. You know, we've talked a lot recently about the struggle, suffering, and we know that the Christian life is not immune to suffering. So maybe you're going through some stuff right now, and perhaps you're finding yourself in the middle of a battle right now, and you're finding it difficult to worship God. Can I encourage you to praise him? Can I encourage you to sing out to God? Like Paul and Silas, during that midnight hour, when all hope was gone, what did they do? They chose to lift up their voices. You can read that in the book of Acts in your own time. Worship leads us out of the battle, and it brings us into a place of peace. Are you looking to enter into that place of peace today? Worship God. You know, we sang on Monday night that praise shall be our battle cry. On Wednesday at the filling stations, we sang out that, or we under our masks, we whispered, that praise is our weapon. So let's look at the benefits to praising God even in the midst of a battle. And these points will be very familiar to our women to women ladies. Number one, praise is the physical expression that leads to breakthrough. You looking for a breakthrough today? Praise God. Well, let's look at what the scripture says about that. Exodus 17. In this passage, we find Moses, Joshua, Aaron, and they're caught up in the midst of a battle. The Amalekites, said it right, the Amalekites defeated. Reading from verse 8, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Just look at what happened there. As the battle was going on, right in the middle of the battle, Moses went up on a hill and he held up his hands. And when his hands got tired, Aaron and Hur, they held up his hands. Sometimes, church, the difference between victory and defeat is simply lifting up our hands and praising God. It's the physical act, the expression of worship here that led to victory. Right in the middle of the storm, in that moment, we can choose. We can choose to cower under defeat. You can choose to bury your head in the sand or hope that it'll just blow away. Or you can choose to lift up your hands and praise God and watch as victory arrives. Church, praising God in the battle leads to victory, not after the battle. There'll be plenty of time to worship God after the battle and we'll join in with you. But praise him now. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the battle, praise him. I mentioned earlier Paul and Silas. It was at that midnight hour where they chose to praise God that the walls came tumbling down. In that moment, the physical expression of worship led to breakthrough. Number two, another benefit to praise and worship is this. Praise silences the enemy. Amen. I thought that would have got a bigger amen than that. I'm going to say that again. Praise silences the enemy. Amen. Psalm 8. You have built a stronghold by the songs of children. Strength rises up with the chorus of infants. The kind of praise has power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. That's in the TPT, and how powerful is that? I read recently that fear is just Satan's prophecy telling us that God will not come through, that he's not powerful enough, or you're not worthy enough. But in that passage there that we just read, it reminds us that the enemy has no power. No power. Our praise shuts the mouth of Satan. Why? Because praise is the truth about who God is. That's why these songs are so powerful. They're not just songs. Most of the time we're reading scripture, we're singing out scripture. God, you are worthy. God, you will never give up. God, you are faithful. We are singing out the truth. We are speaking out the living word about who God is. This is the truth. He is powerful, and he is power over the enemy to shut Satan's mouth. So again, if you feel like you're in the battle and the enemy's coming at you right now with all of this, can I encourage you to lift up your songs of praise? Sing out about who God is. Submit to God and watch the enemy flee. Silences the enemy, our praise. Number three, God defeats our enemies to the sound of praise. Praise is not about our power. Or about us exercising power. When we praise God, what we're doing is inviting God to come in and work in power in our lives. When we choose to worship God, even when we're overwhelmed, what we're doing is allowing the power of God to come in and work in that that is overwhelming us. So often we hear people say that praise, we fight in praise. And yes, that's true. We do fight in praise. We don't choose worldly weapons. We choose spiritual tools, and praise is one of them. But actually, the truth about that is that we're actually not the ones who are fighting. It's God who fights for us when we praise. Let me read to you now a very well-known passage from Scripture, 2 Chronicles 20 explains this beautifully. And there's quite a lot to get through here, so bear with me. But you need to get the whole story. Some people came and they told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Tamar, that's in the En-Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. What was he doing? He was worshipping. He's praying right now. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. What were they doing? They were worshipping God. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. What's that? It's corporate prayer. We'll see you on Monday night, 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. So they came together to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. He's worshipping God. He's telling God the truth about who he is. Verse 7, Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment, plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and you will save us. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Then all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on them. Hallelujah. Verse 15. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. He says it twice. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Again, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. What did they do in response to this? Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, Shaka, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. They praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice. Then, verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men, listen to this, to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. They didn't set the ambushes. The Lord set the ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Hallelujah. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause, because they didn't need to do anything, because the battle was not theirs, but God's. In the story, they were faced with opposition. Are you faced with opposition this morning? They were afraid. Are you afraid this morning? Just look how they responded. They worshipped. They prayed. They fasted. They sang their songs. They sent in the praise team ahead of them. They didn't go out with their swords. No, they went out singing, praising and worshipping God. Have you ever wondered why we have worship before the word? That's what the band are doing. They're ushering in the presence of God. God is saying to you today, let me have control. Put down your weapons. Give up your fighting talk. Look at me. Praise me and allow me to deal with your enemies. to deal with the opposition. Church, the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. Right, our fourth point. We're nearly there. Number four, praise leads us out of despair. Now, this might not be for everyone today, this one, but perhaps there's someone here this morning and you're battling with despair, grief, depression. Perhaps there's just a heaviness in your spirit. The picture that the Holy Spirit gave me was of someone standing under a very dark cloud, very heavy, dark cloud. And you've tried very hard recently to shift it. Perhaps you've hoped that it would just blow away, but you still feel empty, lost, disconnected. Well, God is saying today, I am the answer. I am your answer. Look to me. Worship me, cling to me, and I will lead you out of that place of despair. Just look at what Isaiah the prophet says about this in Isaiah 61. I know you know this well. Words spoken of the coming of Jesus, that he would provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, Isaiah 61, verse 3. In this verse, it talks about an exchange. It's an exchange that the prayer ministry team often pray for at the cross. It's your sorrow. It's your mourning. It's your grief. It's your pain. It's your depression being replaced with joy. How do we do that? Well, it says there in that verse, through praise, by putting on a garment of praise. The phrase that we're using here is a garment of praise. We're literally wearing praise. And this happens when we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we are standing in the very presence of God. What's the opposite to that? Well, it's a garment of mourning. And in the ancient Bible times, a garment of mourning was made in sackcloth. It was an indication of what was going on inside someone's heart. It was a symbol of their grief. It was a symbol of their tears and of their pain and of their sorrow. Well, garments of praise, church, is the complete opposite. It's clothing that we would wear in times of celebration, in times of great joy. And these were prophetic words given by the prophet Isaiah about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ would come and he would replace that despair and that hopelessness with joy, because he is your joy. He is the joy in the suffering. He will replace those tears with dancing. So if you're feeling heavy right now, you're battling with despair, grief, depression, a heaviness, can I encourage you to welcome Jesus? If you haven't done that already, can I encourage you to do that? Forget about everything else that I've said. Do that first. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, can I encourage you to go to the cross at the end? Our prayer ministry team will help you to do that. If you're feeling heavy right now, welcome Jesus. But maybe you already know the Lord and despair has captured your heart recently. Can I encourage you? Worship him. Crank up the music. Lift up your songs of praise. Sing out a hallelujah. Sing it a little louder again and again. Meditate on his word. Pray over your life. This is basic stuff, but this is what's going to lead you out of despair into a place of joy. Because praise is an expression of our love for God. We're declaring in that moment, not that we are worthy, but that he is worthy. We are declaring that he is the Lord of all, because praise leads us to breakthrough. It silences the enemy and it allows God to come into our life and move in power. And it also replaces despair with joy. So I've ran out of time. This is a topic that we could spend months on, but I believe that God wants to remind us of the importance today of worship, that maybe you have been disconnected today, that you have struggled with your daily devotion, you have struggled to come to church recently. What do we do? Well, we don't want to let anything restrict us of worshipping God. Not sin, not heaviness, not disconnection, not the battles and the storms of life. As we've heard today, we are to praise and we are to worship God. Jesus spoke to a woman at a well and he said this, a time's coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. God is spirit. And his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Church, that time is now. The time to worship God individually and corporately as a church is now. The time to sing out the truth about who God is now. He invites you to come now and worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're going to do that. The band are going to come back now. And Peter is going to lead us in a most beautiful song called The Heart of Worship. And if you've recognized today that you haven't been communicating that message, that you haven't been communicating a message of love and lordship, that you haven't been communicating a message with God, to God that you are thankful, that he is worthy, then now is the time. We're going to stand now. And we're going to worship God together. It's time for us to reconnect to the source. It's time for us today to say, Lord, have my heart. So, Father, as we come now, as we come to worship you now, Lord God, we are coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. It is all about you, Jesus. Amen. Let's worship God together, church.